Good morning, my name is Pablo Mukuni, I work for the Sunshine.
My name is Sarah.
Good morning, I'm Jeff Salini from DMG.
Good morning, I'm Alapa Kentega from National Treasury.
Good morning, I'm Edwin Dessel from DPE.
Good morning, I'm Kori from DC from
PPE. Good morning, I'm Peter from PPE.
Good morning, I'm Terry McGuana from PPE.
Good morning, I'm
Terry McGuana from PPE.
Good morning, I'm Terry McGuana from
Good morning, my name is Tarikari Samarkin Ewes.
Good morning, my name is Tarikari Samarkin
Ewes.
Good morning. My name is Rumsat and I'm intern head in the parliament.
I'm your regular computer device registration, and I would like to simplify that this is unreported filing or qualification. So what is it normally just draw the attention to what really appropriately disclosed in the financial statements today and should be mentioned, and that's the security and DSMA requirements. If you look at the regular frequency device expenditure, the regular spend to account loss improved from 128 million to 33.8 million. The 33.8 million basically relates to some ground handling and office rental contracts at outstations, which we have since regularized as well. Frequency device expenditure, unfortunately, up from 4 million to 19.9 million as a result of internal control deficiencies and issues for that payment, and losses due to criminal conduct, 556,000 up from 38,000 years in this year. This basically restores, and unfortunately we always have this on the body taking internal control systems, and obviously this is that be more areas in our designing of our controls. If you look at the remedial actions on the irregular expenditure, the year-on-year improvement of the irregular expenditure lies at the lower conditions in the year to ensure more efficient controls. Initiatives have been introduced, TSMA pressure training, development of contract management processes, whereby there's a monthly monitoring of expiring contracts, and replacement of SAP contract lifecycle management module, the US training around the process, so that understand the SA is a big organization, getting some employees, a lot of expenses are the organization, and so we have to make sure that people understand exactly what processes they need to follow. And obviously there's been an action for non-compliance. Remedial actions on frequency device expenditure, the increase to 9.9 million, basically inventory losses at HX. Management has instituted some rigorous financial operating control to address the matter, which include the implementation of sub-production planning module, redesign of stores, policies and procedures, introducing special skills, employing a chief operating officer, fraudulent activities being investigated and appropriate action taken, and continued emphasis on control and monitoring of soft processes. I'm pleased to say that these actions have already resulted in the year-to-date reduction in the cost of sales percentage of 14%. Losses due to criminal conduct, unfortunately, as I said, we've got dishonest employees. There's cashier fraud in Nairobi, sourcing of magazine fraud, and theft syndication issues. Disciplinary actions have been taken to take a couple of employees. The other one on the internal question about the lead paperwork reports, the report of legal and regulatory requirements. There were no material findings on the work for predetermined objectives for the KPIs. Achievement of planned targets, 60% of total planned targets were achieved. It's improved with previous year, but by no way it's satisfactory for management. We'll do everything in our power to improve that. If you look at those planned targets that have not been achieved, six of them relate to profitability and financial KPIs. We will get to the financial section where we will explain the financial results. The other one was funding on the 18-20 transaction. We had a deadline to finalize the funding for this transaction 2 months before the delivery. We managed it after the year end. We managed already to secure financing of the first 10 aircraft. Cargo load factor, but below the targets, largely as a result of international air freight market continues to suffer as a result of a sluggish economy. Delayed rocket after aircraft, as you are aware, the Cape Town London route was
internal control. No patient in internal control was identified that were considered as evidence. The first question was to be now, you talked about controls that were not 100% efficient in SS reasons. I'm pleased to say our own controls treat us not the workers, so we, our own controls, although we couldn't prevent it, didn't take it, but we are working on the the worst preventive reports, the overall control environment continues to improve, that's the assessment. They did express their concern on the internal controls in the HS area. However, the committee was satisfied with the content and quality of financial reports and also the effectiveness of the new in-house internal water function. The committee acknowledged the improvement in TIA's risk management function, and furthermore, the committee was satisfied with the appropriate economy policy. In the compilation of the financial statements. If you look at the financial results, we understand that SA operates in a highly competitive global market, which is actually liberalizing and consolidating, resulting in varying levels of competition in the domestic, regional, and international markets. We are all aware of the mid-industry airlines that are capitalizing on African market liberalization and continued strength in competition. We made a loss, a 4% loss, which although we do know that there are 10 minutes, although we need those actions for us, and I can assure you that the board, management, and staff are committed to the building platform. However, there are a number of highlights that we might share with you for the next time. The first one is currency income up by 14%. We are coming to the breakdown of that. Cost savings in excess of 1 billion there. We embarked on a cost protection program looking at all types of ways to save costs and regenerate processes to ensure that we cut costs sustainably going forward, not only by the cuts to improve the cost and efficiency going forward. So all these cuts and savings are sustainable going forward. Operating loss before tax, that's basically the most important measure in airlines, operating tax, operating loss before interest, tax, and depreciation, improvement of 40%, irregular expenditure down by 59%, we touched on that. The guarantee was extended, and we just stand on that point for a while. A little bit of a misconception on the guarantee that the tax rate is only being worked on the airline. This guarantee is merely a guarantee for FAA to store its funds in the normal money market at quite a centre rate. So it's by no means that we are wasting taxpayers' money, it's just funding up opportunities to lend money to those who are very weak. So that is an opportunity to grow money.
You're not in the line of problems.
No, and next one, controllable costs, I mean, up by 5% in a very much higher inflation environment. Next one, please. If you look at the bridge income statement, that's on the income, operating costs up 12% if we include the non-controllable costs, EBITDA by 40%, as I mentioned previously. You'll recall in the previous financial year, the feedback of the fee increase was about 1.6 billion in the previous financial year. We did our best through the cost compression program, cut costs. We were very successful, but unfortunately, the weakening of the exchange that spoiled the part for us. In the current year, the feedback of the weakening of our currency was 700 million on the bottom line. So if you translate back to those numbers, if the currency did not move, we would have actually made a profit of 250 million. Net operating loss improved by 31%. Finance costs increased as a result of increased reliance on debt funding in the absence of sufficient equity. What we haven't seen there is 38 million that's also paid on the upward merit loan. That has been clarified because we've seen a dividend. And the previous financial year, 500 million basically the rest of the intraday credit was recognized in the previous financial year. If we look at the revenue, just write down because AI radio has very things. I think I'm particularly one to speak. The contributing factors, the increase in total radio, are first of all ended and increased by 7%. And I must add this 7% is largely as a result of impacts of the recent currency and has a positive impact on our revenue on the international sales. 8% increase in revenue passengers. We had a 3% increase in load factors and a capacity increase of 3%.
You can see the impact of the cost compression program in long-term operating profit has been reduced 2% in the prior year. This table basically tries to compare apples to apples. If you eliminate the exchange rate impact and also certain activities. If we start off with the drop in various in two financial years, the currency impact, if we eliminate the currency impacts, are just under 2.1 billion. And we do some currency adjustments and adjustments on the fuel price and inflation. We'll see there that operating costs are actually well controlled and maintained and actually decreased by 2% on the previous financial year. Next slide, operating cost analysis. I'll go through all the operating costs quickly. Next slide, you can see the fuel cost increase by 5%. Average rate price actually decreased marginally, but the increase is large as a result of the weakened currency. Fuel cost comprised 35% of total operating expenses, which is up from 34% in the previous financial year. The most important thing I would like actually to highlight, you'll see that the graph on the right at the bottom there, you'll see the dollar Brent price, the blue line, and you can see the red line is the Brent price converted into rand. And there you can see it increases from about 557 rand per barrel to just under 1,000 rand per barrel from 2010. So that also reports to the burden that we carry on the green rand as well as the blue price. Fixed margin for these expenses up only by 3%. There is no increases for management in this financial year. Fires had a contractual increase of 0.2% and general staff increase of 6.1%. Headcount increased by 4%. That is largely driven by the compulsory increase in contract workers that will be permanently employed. Aircraft maintenance up by 32%. And if you break down that, 80% of 300 million is the result of the leasing of the land, 4% or 72% as a result of changes in fleet plan, and a total increase in material classification of 11% a total increase therefore 571 million. The next one, take off lease costs of 30%, largely driven by the leasing of the land. Next on navigation, landing and parking, about 18%. We have a great reduced climate change impacts and also some technical increases that we captured last year that could also affect this financial year. Sea value movement and conservation differences. We have a net conservation gain of 139 million. We've got more dollar assets on our balance sheet and liabilities, and hence we have a positive on the translation. On the net value on the hedging, we've lost 84 million on the gain for on the currency. When underlying book itself, we actually gain on the hedging. On oil, it was very flat and range down, so although our policy has enforced us to take out the assurance of hedging, if your underlying does not move, your hedging is actually a cost, and then it shows the negative, quite an insurance cost. When you look at the capital reserves, we have a negative capital of 850 million at the end of the financial year. The movement is as a result of the bottom line loss. You can see there that we are getting fairly. The next slide, this slide, would actually like to take you through this slide. If you look at 2010 right through to 2013, the dark blue bars are capital reserves. And you'll see there quite there's some profits prior to 2013, these profits. Of course, it's not a good fact, we need to go to the slide and just to explain. You'll see we had profits in 2002, 2003. 2003, 4, 5, 6, we had those huge hedging losses. The red line basically shows the capital movement or the equity movement. You can see there was no equity movement up to 2006. Net value is 200 equity injection, so we saw its balance sheet basically to zero. And from 2007, you can see that we had basically no equity. It's very flat and no balance sheet. So that's quite important to realize that we don't have a sufficient buffer to accommodate any losses because there is no equity base.
the financial position, I think a big movement there is basically the cash movement, I'll take the cash flow, net cash, cash equivalents, deteriorated from 33 million overdraft to basically 1.1 million overdraft. But there is a positive there. SA generated 5 million cash from operating activities despite the operating trading environment. Previous year, they actually burned 1.1 million on operating activities. This year, they actually made 5 million cash generated 5 million cash. CapEx additions relates to about 420 million in the current financial year. That is the question, where the cash goes to. We basically brought in on the operating side, but then the capital additions, 420 million. And PDP payments, these are pre-delivery payments or deposit payments on our 18-20 transactions. We're going to need to actually make deposit payments. At the end of the year, we made payments of $45.5 million. And we also repaid 280 million of our commercial borrowings. So the question, where does our cash go to? Basically, capital expenditure, capital deposit payments, and repayment of long-term loans. Thank you, Chair.
It says you don't have a balance sheet. You should create a balance sheet, big balance sheet. I think it's quite bothering them. I think we need to do something about it. I'm not going to ask questions about everything, but we should do something about it, and so that we don't, we should try to change the situation so that we don't rely on national treasury. Long-term turnaround practice. You know, this has been presented, but sometimes it's an answer for life. And I don't really think that much is being done to, you know, with regard to the amount of practice. I really think we need to pay some attention to it. But what will succeed? And I think our great general oversight is with the board and management, is that we need to come up with a, in fact, the committee needs to also pay more attention on oversight in terms of the rollout of this long-term turnaround strategy. So we will find a way where we will not only wait until this report is given, but on a quarterly basis, that the committee actually be given a chance that let's see things in as far as the rollout of this project. Honorable Chairman, Honorable Minister, Honorable Minister, Honorable Marine.
Thank you, Chairperson, and thank you for the presentation this morning. I think there are good things here, and we congratulate you for that, but there are obviously also things of concern. And perhaps because our Chairperson has mentioned the long-term strategy, let me start there. We do say that the first ever comprehensive and holistic long-term strategy, and I know a lot of work has gone into this, compiled a lot of reports to so you finally have a good product here. And I would like to ask you, whether you can assure the committee that you are going to be achieving on the long-term strategy. And then having said that, as a committee, we cannot follow monetary scale, we don't know the budgeting structure. And I think, can you give us some idea as to when you would have an idea of perhaps capital recapitalizing it, or whatever issue you're taking, when that will be available to us as a committee? And then just also perhaps related to that, in your report, on page 61, you talk about the 5 million financial guarantee, and you explain that, and you know, I understand that. But you also talk about it being perfunctory in your report. You talk here, you say all terms and conditions associated with this extension are still to be finalized, but the directors believe this project to be perfunctory. That seems to indicate that it's not necessary. Perhaps you could just explain that it falls just under your event subsequent to the statement reporting date on page 61. And then also, picking up on the AGM input, particularly restrictive waste expenditure, and you know, you have exchange measures that you are putting in place to deal with this. And we want to thank you for that, to in order to correct the inefficiencies. But I think my question would be, can you assure this committee that in fact those processes are going to deal with the situation? Sometimes we put our plans on paper, but the implementation becomes problematic. So do we have that assurance?
Thank you, Katie. Thank you to the SAA team for the report. And just to say that indeed suicide is an as well, but what we continue to appreciate is you and the need to continue to write the information clearly. We say she standards they are good, which has improved as one thing. But it is own issue of abuses needs to be looked at because of the statement. I think one thing that is important is to really focus on the turnaround strategy. In a sense that you let's take a look at the situation. Because the situation we've got now it's a turnaround strategy. I guess what will be important is for you to actually look at the case in this situation. You indicated that this is the expenses gone up in terms of employees, but also what's important to really do that what area of employees is actually looking at your so the general strategy should be able to interrogate the whole issue of strategy. And on the quantum question, it should be good if you continue to get in trying to avoid lots of jobs at the lower level. It will be important for you to really manage to continue the capacity in terms of job creation. Your case is 400 million. In the background of 5 million of operating activity, that is one. The situation that we really need to look at. The operating costs are quite heavy. The revenue is there, you appreciate it, it comes in, but then it actually gets eaten up by the operating costs. So I think it's a situation that requires some kind of balance, because the revenue is coming, it means that the business is coming, it's running very well. But also we need to look at how to actually do cost savings in order to ensure the business run is efficient in the way it has been changed.
Thank you, Chairperson. Chairperson, I've said it once and I've said every time we say, dear Chief, I don't think that it's
three, that we don't have a set of different financial statements for Mango. I think that if we are to execute the necessary oversight that we as a committee need to do, we need to see the operating cost and expenditure of Mango Airlines. We are told that it is a very successful part of FAA, in fact we know this to be true, but I think that we need to see their financials and we need to know more about the subsidiary of FAA and the way it affects the operation of companies. Travel is a bit that I find it highly irregular and not good in a competitive environment to have an airline that continuously operates under the auspices of getting government bailouts, because other airlines, as you know, do not enjoy the fruits of being able to turn to government and get a government bailout. And that reason, I find it actually quite ingenious when we are told that taxpayer money is not used. Because while we understand, we are very much aware that it is not a case of Minister Prime Gordon taking 5 billion rand and handing it to FAA. It is, however, my taxpayers' money and your taxpayers' money, cheaper, and that's extra surety for when these guarantees are given out. So we as South Africans have every right to question what is being done with the bailout money that government gives to FAA, because they could not operate without those guarantees of extra surety when they go to banks and get these massive loans that are coming through. With regards to the long-term strategy, what we received in a nutshell could be described as the executive summary. And I said it and I say it continuously. And she believed me when I say I've been abused on Twitter from various people, spokespeople, telling me we can't give you the information because it's not good for our competitors to know what we're doing. We don't want insider information, Jesus. We want information that allows us to exercise our duty of oversight. And I will continue asking for the information because that is my job. That's why people vote me into Parliament. It is my job to question what our national carrier is doing because it is a state-owned entity. And we have every right to know why certain routes are being put in place and why certain routes aren't. And Chair, quite frankly, it's given me room for concern that there is a lot of political interference with regards to FAA's routing, and that's why information is not being given to me regarding what routes are being cancelled and what routes are being implemented. There are some routes that we know that are operating at huge losses, and we are being told that it's strategic, and I understand there are political and social and diplomatic reasons we have certain routes. But I also have spoken to other people in the airline industry and understand that these routes can be co-chaired with various airlines. And these are all sorts of pieces of information that we need as a committee to put together the proposal. And Chair, we need markers when it comes to the turnaround strategy. We actually need to know timelines. We need to know who's in charge of what. So a more expansive and more comprehensive turnaround strategy is what needs to be delivered to us here, not what we received, which I'm afraid was simply an executive summary. Chair, equity base, as the CFO said to us, is non-existent, and that's very worrying. I'm sure it's worrying for you too, and I can understand it. How do we build our equity base? How do we actually get ourselves out of the quagmire that we find ourselves in now? Because if one looks at the rand continues to get weaker, oil prices continue to increase, competition continues to increase internationally, and it seems that we're stuck in a never-ending circle. Is there a way out, or do we have to resign ourselves to the fact that for at least the foreseeable future, FAA will be operating at a loss, and FAA will be requiring more and more government bailouts to gain service? Let's be honest, Jeff, because at least if we're honest with one another and we know where we're going, then we don't need not to be surprised when we hear that another government bailout is required. Because we realise that we have a zero equity base, so we're going from there. Chair, and then the airline contract has worried me and worried me since I joined the portfolio committee, Chair. Are we still paying on penalties? Minister Igalo recently said, he did a briefing recently, and EP will have to help me out here. But basically, he said that FAA will not be recapitalizing on its fleet. Now, a 5 billion rand guarantee share is not enough to recapitalize the fleet, so exactly how are we going to get these new airlines to do irrespective? And we stay on the EBA still, because the last time SAA was here, we were still paying a penalty. In fact, I think it was 40 million that we're paying on a 6-monthly basis for non-deliverance, because the EBA was ready and waiting for us in America, and we just weren't taking delivery of it. So I'd like to know where we stand on that. Chair, and then one of my, and I'm going to end off with this, Chair, a complaint that, as you know, MPs get emails from the general public, and one of the complaints that I receive the most is about baggage at SAA. And I'd like to know, Chair, if we could get a comprehensive report from SAA about who does the baggage repair, who does the replacement of baggage should a bag be deemed to be not replaceable. Because, Chair, from what I understand, these amounts are going to millions. Even seems as simply as having a bag delivered to someone's home once the bag is engaged. I'd like SAA to provide for the report as to how they, who does the repair and or replacement of baggage as that comes through, because it's something that's coming through more and more. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, JP. I don't have to answer as much. But there's a few questions. As we started the normal flight operation at the NOC due to the new generation plan that we just had, we will have the individual that come into flight operations. So that's not going to affect flight change. We will stick with the strategy and whatever go on. Because the DG and the good air flight is where the problem is coming in. Actually, they're not indeed on those flights. And if you can give us update on the news, like for new research in norms between 2013 to Abidjan and Congo, other worlds, is that they're operating at the process that is so actually over on that plane.
Now, elements of the LCTS that talk to cost conversion my colleague brought the talk and spoken about a huge sustainable saving of about $1 billion. That effort continues into the current financial year. And so we're focusing a lot on driving unnecessary costs out of the business. But we are doing so in a climate age where the exchange rate is weak, and both have demonstrated that as our currency is weakening, it wipes off approximately $3.4 billion from our income statement. So we're not sitting back and making a decision that we're not acting to strengthen the business we are, and my colleague was cited with the examples. The next point that was raised by Honourable Bowman related to fruitless and wasteful expenditure. I've got this in the news to report here. And the top management structure for the Asher business has been changed completely. We have a new CEO, and we have a new CFO, we have a new head of stores, we have a new head of operations, and for our parent. So there needs to be armed controls in that business. And we've also rolled out an ERP system to help us manage controls better in the business. And when we present the 1840 number towards the end of the calendar year, you will see that there is disciplined improvement in financial performance of the shares this current financial year versus last year. A demonstration to me that we are taking responsibility and making sure that controls are working in the benefit of the shareholder business. And that's all of my comments on the questions that were raised by Honourable Bowman. Can I do anything else? Chief,
I could add something. Just on the cost compensation. We have achieved success in the last financial year. That by no means we have to stop it. We're continuing with our cost compression. What we did in the new financial year, we embarked on several projects. We announced about 34 projects, which range from how to reduce weight of the aircraft, save fuel, changing routes, looking at maintenance costs, and all those helping reduce weight. What we're involved in now is a second phase where we will be doing some benchmarking. The other airlines, popular airlines, see if they can get it, still there, thinking that we see where we can generate some savings. Just on the airlines, on the airlines, the P50 transaction, I have explained, when we entered the transaction in 2002, at the time, after that, we renegotiated in 2009 or 15 between the aircraft with the deliveries in 2013. Unfortunately, what happened was, initially, we had a contract cost with Escalade forward, and the price of Escalade, in terms of the Escalade clauses, the current market value of the aircraft are lower than the original purchase price. Of course, there's a new generation aircraft coming into the market in 2 years' time. That's a legal issue that we need to keep in mind, that we see the differential between the original contract price and the current market value. So as we take delivery of the aircraft, we will have some impairment component to take care of. On the wide body, on the financing of the wide body aircraft, in terms of what the minister announced, we have to understand FAA does not have a data sheet. If I cannot click on new debt levels because we don't have a capital base. So any new aircraft, wide body and narrow body, will be applied on operating lease base and not on the outbound purchase base. We don't have a capital for that. It's a question of when will the FAA become profitable in the light of the international routes that are unprofitable? Can be said the results of the long term when we will be replacing the wide body fleet. We are currently in that process. And looking at the current routes, there are lots of international routes, but before we close down the route, then we have to understand will this be profitable if we have the right product, the right aircraft. So there might be a time that we have to study the environment until we have the appropriate aircraft and product. Because the new aircraft will be probably in the region about 5% more efficient on fuel. And fuel, I mean, we already demonstrate the use. Fuel prices, fuel impact. So when we look at loss-making routes and when we determine which loss-making routes we can cancel or not cancel, we have to take into account the aircraft that we have now and what impact we want to use on those aircraft. Also, we need to understand that there are inherent limitations that FAA has to be compared to other airlines internationally. We certain hemisphere, we've got hot and high conditions, so it's going to pull our tails under new circumstances. And we burn more fuel than other airlines. The other issue is, with our leaving on the land, we need to compete in the international market in other airlines with a stronger currency. So as our cost base increases, we cannot just increase our airfare in line with our cost base because we have to become profitable. So we have that inherent limitation on how much we can absorb our cost base.
Thank you, Chair President. Let me address the recentralization, the issue of the recentralization, which the CEO has referred to, and indicated that we may have to add something. Here is indeed a matter that we are working on with the national treasury. I personally would have hoped that we have resolution at this point in time, but as it turns out, we don't have yet. And what is important is to underscore government's commitment to this was clearly conveyed to us as the shareholders and the airline when we took the long-term Turnaround strategy. Cabinet welcomes the opportunity to have a thoroughgoing discussion, comprehensive and thoroughgoing discussion on the airlines. And reaffirms the fact that the airline is a strategic asset, very important strategic asset for the country. And that reason, it deserves our support. It deserves government support, it deserves the support of all countries. Because it's such a strategic asset, connecting us to the world, enabling us to trade with the world, enabling the world to trade with us as it were. So it's very, very, very important that that point be conveyed, that they have been renewed support within the government for the airline. And that support will reduce in a number of things that we have to do to ensure that we assist the airline to cope in a very highly competitive, cutthroat competitive environment. For example, within the states, many parts of the state, sometimes negative. But we needed to align all those things that many government departments in the course of work we do we need, for example, the Department of Transport through this regulatory arm, we hit a national treasury, we hit a home affairs visa, and so on and so forth. So we have to look at what the sum total of all of these regulatory arrangements and initiatives and activities have on the airline, which places often in a competitive advantage with the financial airline. So that's one part, and there are a range of other things. But the point eventually is financial sustainability of the airline. So we recognize that the financial sustainability of the airline cannot be the sole responsibility of the airline. Because even the perishable rely on perishable. Now, perishable elements may even be in a better position with regard to the, how quickly they can get their shareholders to support them. For us, it's in a garment, it involves a rather complicated process which we are undertaking right now with the church. Private owned headlines don't have to deal with that bureaucracy of pinning down the nation extent of support that the shareholder has to give. So the fact that the SAA has an advantage because they won't end up that was quite boring. There's a limit to such a claim. How do you form alliance when they tend to the shareholder today, the shareholder forms tomorrow? But what is important is that ourselves in the Treasury, and the Treasury for this part of my head, recognize that SAA requires our support to achieve financial sustainability. And that's the work that we are doing. I am hoping that we will resolve this. The thing about the fate of the shareholder is that it has thousands of other competing demands. The claims of the fiscus are quite expensive. And in current fiscal environment, it's very difficult in the current fiscal environment. But on the back of the commitment to support the airline and strategic assets, I'm confident and optimistic that we will find a solution. Thank you.
Chair, we have an issue, and we've dealt with the questions from Honorable Oman. I'd like to move on to the questions from Honorable Majete. And most of the questions have been answered. There are three that I'd like to tackle, Chair. Before I come to LCTS, we have a basis to start to try to address the issue. As far as the LCTS is concerned, our long-term turnaround strategy, we have effective government structures in place to make sure that progress is made on the LCTS. And we've got a department dedicated for showing that LCTS that will continue to receive attention. It developed a plan on its own, as well as an opportunity in business. And this department is headed by my colleague, Yeshua Gillespie. And he reports to our extra internal LCTS, reports to a board subcommittee called LCTS. You met Mr. Kumalo when you came to our offices. And Mr. Kumalo's committee reports to the board, and the board accounts to a structure created by PCPE called the Ministerial Council. So you've got all the structures that are monitoring progress against the final plan, the milestone, and accountability to make sure that there's progress on the TPS. So on the matter, LTPS keeps us awaited like it's receiving attention from all levels of the organization. And you have made a program, and my colleague Mr. Mayor has spoken about some of the achievements already. On the issue about interrogating the structure that is currently taking place, we're going through a process where we are revisiting the structure of the organization, analyzing the area where there might be extra staff, analyzing areas where there's a shortage of staff, analyzing areas where there's poor productivity. And once that process is completed, then it will also fall into the plan and milestone developed by the ESO University, and we will then take the necessary corrective action. As far as the patient is concerned, my colleague, Mr. Mayor, is and I spoke about it. He mentioned a number of 35,000 jobs. He also mentioned a number of 44,000 jobs. That is our responsibility as a stakeholder ally to assist our government in creating sustainable jobs. That's top of mind as well. And the questions that you asked for the majority around PPS and operational costs were answered by my colleague, Mr. Mayor. Maybe a remark on the revenue. Revenue looks positive, under 35 rupees, I'll buy more. And the commercial department, which is responsible for driving revenue, lost a lot of extra staff when that worked out of the business about a year and a half, 2 years ago. I'm rapidly situating those two positions with people with great experience in the commercial space. They are going to help us in identifying quality meaning that should help us improve our top line. So you might be happy with the position that then as Mr. Mayor said, as head of the business, I'm not, I want more. And if I can move on, share with your permission, to honor to myself. A separate set of financials for Mango can be made available, but what I would like to do is to consult with our legal department as well as the DD to make sure that the making of set of financials are not valid, any legal situation around it, especially in the context of the very competitive environment in South Africa. So if you allow me, Chair, I'd like to be given time to consult with our legal department as well as the DD to work out a safe and different combined way to make those financials available. On government bailouts, my colleague Mr. Mayor showed a slide where he spent a lot of time, where he was really putting the point that when the SAA was taken out of Tanzania, it was not properly crystallized. And the reason we keep going back to government to ask for guarantees, to ask for satisfaction, is because when this business was treated, the balance sheet was not properly crystallized, and IDG has explained that. Now, once we get to a stage where the balance sheet is properly catalyzed and we roll out initiatives based on the LTPS, our expectation is that in year 4 or 5 of the LTPS, the business should start making even only profits. None of us, the very hard money, but none of us like to work for a business where you have to constantly go back to the shareholders and ask for consent. And I think that I've also addressed over to Michael's question around the sectors and comes from our government and from our people. The executive summary on LTS, again, I'm going to have to speak to the head of our legal department as well as our shareholder, and make sure that if we make these things around the LTS available, we do not compromise the legislation as well as complexity issues in South Africa. I'm sure if you allow me, I'll consult the community to speak to the head as to how we should make that available. The issue my chance about political interference, I've been in charge of the business now for about 8 months. I found no reason to feel that the shareholders are interfering in our business, and I have no reason to slide this committee. I'm just thinking, together with my management team, nothing else, but getting support from our colleagues in particular present. I hope you can see in the way we're dealing with the questions coming from the show that we are wanting. Your question around markup around the LCS will be addressed once the legal experts have given the guidance as to how our committee has seen it available. We've dealt with the issue of the equity base, the colleague has dealt with the airport contract and capitalization penalties. The last point on 5H. Read the news. About 3 or 4 years ago, there was one bag out of 1,000 persons were part of the airport. Today, it's 2 bags, that's 10,000 passengers. My colleague ran a project before I joined the business called Project Zero. And that Project Zero has delivered improvement on Pittsburgh Health and Spanish taxes. I've noted your request that we must have been a deeply involved with this committee. We'll go back to present the report, give it to our shareholder PPE, and we'll make it available to yourselves. Unless I've left anything else on the table, I'm going to move on. Honourable Murray, we've answered the question. The first question was around the timeline around the new white body sheet. October 2014, this was the show that put before us, that was money that is working to. And that date on the new road, the majority of them are in Africa, and we just prepare a report that we can submit to this committee in this regard. That's a big deal about the terms of the new road that we're going to. Chair, I thank you.
One question, please. Honorable McQueen, Honorable Polo, and if the question
question on how it was answered by much of it from the question. I don't know what
how much have been spent on the triple BEE
of engine maintenance. If it has been completed, the engine maintenance within SAA, that can be done. And what benefits of credit have been resulted from the strategy of this engine maintenance within SAA? Are there positive results done for
your practice should always talk to this because if this is having your strategy should affect the planning situation and one other comment that could should come up is right from the beginning when this the balance sheet was not properly checked. What are the same things? I'm really following through the because I imagine that the current business asset should be changed as how it should make the business grow and become productive over here. So my thing is that it should show a new action prevention. We need a human to make the business history and what it is.
In terms of maintenance, it's well in progress. SAP uses the capability to change strategic engines. In the Age conference, that capability was uploaded to the Elizabeth Foundation. We want to bring it back at the cost of being that it was a lot of people who can do it. And in the way that the thing is that we want to use this wide for the acquisition program to unlock that opportunity. So when we talk about the RFP to update the new specification, that new specification is also going to talk about the preferred manufacturer working with SAE technical solution that has been making a possibility. If I can move on to Honorable Mokwena, we thank you for wishing us well for the future, for the board and the management team that is committed to making as the head of the business, I'm very concerned that with the support we are getting from our shareholder, we've got the right strategy, there are good market opportunities out there to make this airline a proud South African entity again. I thank you.
No, I don't have anything to add. Just what this member and generalists need is the National Industrial Certification Program is maybe the localization regulation that are in the part of the training industry.
Thank you.
Thank you. Just on the question on the 95 guidance content, I would like to confirm that it's a technical disruption. Does it make a profit on the 40 million rand operating profit in 6 months here? As the CEO alluded to, with the approval of equity capacity, that we see an important source of third party revenue to counter as a natural hedge, because I think I will explain our revenue, about 40% of our revenue in foreign currency and 60-65% of our software restricted currency currency. So we need some kind of a natural edge to increase our foreign currency revenue, and we do see that the SAE has a tool for that, so we can increase our third party business. That's just because they have a tip on the growth and the history. Honorable member has mentioned that we always go back to history development and look at the growth. I think what we need to mention that is probably a major issue in the past is that the SAE always had a no growth model. We had our fleet that did not grow for how many years. As a result of it, our competitors increasing their fleet sizes, we've lost the scale and market share. But that's also something that we need to get back to the audience addressing.
We normally talk about the outgoing boss and the outgoing gentleman. We never talk about the outgoing contact. This is the outgoing
contact.
Yeah. And I think those who have been working with the property for some time now will remember that we have always regarded the relationship between the committee and the board of the I must say that we really had a very good relationship with GCE. The committee will always be there. The basis may change. And we hope that the relationship will continue in that direction. I must say that we will try also and congratulate on the best of my I think that's one good story we can also find out from it too. The share of the boss is not there was unwell. The Queen Anna is going to convey the message of the committee to the team over a period of research to recover.
I think that brings us to the end of it.
And I'd like to thank each member. And thank you for all the talent of this place, but we really pass the time that we have to do. And the department and everything.